summertime is coming, and the trees are sweetly blooming, and the wild mountain time grows around the blooming heaven.
Hello, welcome in to episode 63 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise, and in this episode we have the Blether, which is like a What's a Crack section. The Scottish segment is back. The Great Apron Swap, a Me 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 section, a Drams, which is a single malt 12-year-old Tomatin. All the links are in the show notes, if that come from where you download this from, probably tomorrow because I'm always a day late, so relax and get your links later on. I, as usual, sponsor this from my own business, Energy Hunt Limited, www.energyhunt.com. because it really has got nothing to do with whatsoever with craft, but everything to do with my business, which is Northern Scotland's premier renewable engineering service. As it pays my wage, I can see it, I get you to do your podcast. So get your cup of tea, your craft, I'll tell you what a crack is in Caithness this week. I'm just going to start by saying that I was quite poorly recently with a bladder infection, so I missed an episode. But I'm about better now, and thank you all to who have tracked me down on social media and gave me lovely messages. I was kidding on it was being Prince Philip, which generally meant I could get away with insulting everyone and anyone and hobbling around like a 92-year-old man. I'm back now, and that's all I'll say on that.
Now for the Blether.
Away and sitting for a Blether. The Blether is back with like. Like. Adjective. Resembling. Similar, or it's a transitive verb, find agreeable, enjoy, love. I don't think many of you are going to like me much after this Blether. Wait till you hear me out though. Thanks for listening if you don't ever come back. I don't rant much, and this isn't a rant, it's just a blunt observation which I don't think you'll like. We like things on Facebook. We like to like things on social media forums. I like on Ravelry that we get to love things. It's a way of showing that you read things and you don't feel the want to actually put comments underneath. It's good to like things. I like craft. Well, actually, I love craft, but I like it as well. They say you can love someone without actually liking them. It's more not liking the behaviour, really. This is true, also, but how much nicer is it when we like them, too? I've got two small bairns, both of whom are speaking, but little enough to be guided in how they talk grammatically and enunciate their words correctly. I'm hoping that's the correct grammatical form as well, because I know I am not perfect before you throw this back in my face. I'm particularly conscious of nouns, pronouns, adverbs and all the terms that we learnt at primary school and promptly forgot in high school, just now as my little Daisy has been seeing a speech therapist over the past few months. We knew she was a late speaker, but when she did start, she wasn't speaking clearly and she transposes her consonants on her vowels, such as Amy becomes Mimi and son becomes ton. Some of these are common in bairns, but the lovely speech therapist has helped Daisy to start to relearn how to speak. So now it's spoon and Amy and fish and four. I'm sorry if I've spat in your ear. I did find this hard to accept because I felt as a mother I was failing her by not teaching her to speak properly. But we've got help and she's on her way. She's a bright cookie and had worked out how to get her brother or us to do what she wanted without her needing to actually speak correctly. So we've been working hard with her and she's getting there. And Sandy, who's always been clear and eloquent from an early age, now being at school picks up other people's accents and ways of talking. Earlier in the summer I was correcting him for saying like in all his sentences. Oh, now you get my point is. Yes, I do it too. In fact, I had a conversation the other day with the nurse. I put like every second word at one point. And yes, you don't like me anymore because you've realised what I mean. Of course, I told him the correct use of the word like, such as, I like craft, it's fun. Or, that sheep looks like a cloud. But our society, and I mean most of the UK media now, use like as a pause in our sentences and general conversation. We used to and and now we like. I've been thinking about this as a blather for ages now, and then earlier this summer I was watching Friday Night with Graham Norton, and he interviewed Miriam Margoyles and Will I Am and Greg Davis, the comedian. Miriam is an old school actress. She was Professor Sprout in Harry Potter, and she told Will I Am off for the incorrect usage of the word like. He literally could not string a sentence together after it. Then he gave up, and he went back to using it every second word. It was actually very, very funny. I think, and I may be wrong, but I think it comes from the west coast of America's surfy valley talking type of area, which is shown on TV and of course wheedles its way into our subconscious throughout the countries where we watch youthful TV programmes. I like to hear what you're crafting. I like messages. I like talking. I like to do craft. I love to tell you about it, to share the passion, the enthusiasm. But what I don't like is me, particularly, using the word in the wrong context. And now I've pointed it out, you probably won't either. For that, I'm sorry, but let's claim like back to the correct place of the sentence. Like see Ken, hey Jojo. That's actually a Northern Wales reference, by the way. Now, if you need a pee stop, because it's time for the Daisy laugh, like Richard said, I had to put that one in. Can you do some giggling?
Yeah.
And I would like to say a very happy fourth birthday to my wee darling Daisy and to her godmother Mari, who's actually a wee bit older than four. It's a very special day.
Hello.
Hello section. Sandy, hello to new to me, been with me for a while and been with me forever listeners. I still appreciate you tuning in, so thank you, and I generally mean that. And now a Sandy hello to the new group members.
Hello.
And there's a few of you. MJWD, Rachel Mander, her of the Buffalo fame, and believe me, that buffalo was worn quite a lot recently. Arlene, Spinning Judy, Sarah MM 1984, Canny Cat, N Blackstock, Patty B, Caroline 12, Distill, who's German, Natalie Ford, and Hoxton. I am not worthy. I had to look twice, and I am not worthy. Hello. I can't believe you joined the group. I'll go on to that more later. Thank you for joining, all of you. I do love your messages, and I love your projects. And the other day I went in and I commented on all the projects that were up there, and three of them were from Green Triangle Girl. But I do intend to do that quite a lot, because it's really nice when you get somebody commenting, even if it's just, I like the colour. But I have a look, and I'm a nosy. Also, thank you for the iTunes review, Rosie O'Joe and Tiamo92. I practice these and it still sounds rubbish. I really do go read them, and they were both lovely, lovely reviews, so thank you. So if you feel the need to remember your password on iTunes, leave a review and I'll be a happy podcaster. And the random hellos are to...
Hello!
Mary Jo O, Pink Newf, Tricky, Claire Marie, Iris Wildsmith, and Memphis Holly, who changed her ravatar the other day and I didn't recognise her.
What's the e-crack section?
What's e-crack? I've got a wee bit of saddish news. The website Seamed Up is no longer. The team behind it closed the site down due to it taking over their lives, and sadly they couldn't commit to the time that it needed. There's another site in a similar vein called Thread Bias, which hopefully will fill the void left by Seamed Up, because there's certainly a void there for the quilting community that wants something like Ravelry to talk about the quilts, put up pictures, try and get it catalogued as much. I don't know if it's as easy as it is with Ravelry, but it's such an excellent site, Ravelry. I can understand why people would want to kind of, not copy, but emulate it for their own craft. And I'm sad that Seamed Up's not going anymore, but well, life is for living, and if they weren't able to, then that's the way it goes. So all the best to the Seamed Up team. May their machines always be sewing, and all the best to the Thread Bias team. May all your machines be very busy. And also, Chris Moyle shows no longer. The past few weeks has been brilliant listening back to their best bits, and it brought back loads of memories. He was on for 8.5 years in The Breakfast, and he's seen me through 2 jobs, 3 houses and 2 bairns. I'll miss him, but I kind of like Nick Grimshaw too, so onwards and upwards. I was messaging Scrappy Doo to tell her to download the best of Chris Moyles from iTunes. So if any of you are interested, he's had the best of his up on iTunes, so grab them whilst they're there. And all the best to him and the team, because it wasn't just Chris that was the show. This paragraph is generally for the UK listeners. Yep, so wasn't the last one. I heard recently that they want to shake up the New Year's Honours list to reflect people that go out of their way in their communities rather than just the celebrities that get it for so-called just doing their jobs. I don't grudge the celebs getting them. Most of them do loads of work for charity anyway, but I thought, who in the knitting community in the UK deserves recognition? And it led me to think of the ladies who organised the Woolsack project to give us the cushions all the athletes from the Olympics and Paralympics got. Also, those involved for Campaign for Wool. Unless they might have already. But if you're in the know, or have the know, or know how you get the know, how do you put them on the list? I would recommend somebody thinking about that. Happy 5-year podiversary to Coggy, a wee bit late, of the High Fibre Diet podcast. Much love to you, your mother-in-law, and send on our best to Sarge. I've been catching up with Coggy the past week and she is simply glorious. If you've not listened, please go give her a go. And happy 100 episode mark to my very favourite, sorry everyone else, but she is, because she was the first and she continues to be my favourite, Hoxton Handmaid's Electric Sheep. There was a Twitter party, virtual gin, talking about gin, cake and a 90 minute episode. And I'm dead proud to say I've listened to all the 100 episodes and, well, yeah. You gotta love the sheep. I think there's a few of you who have not yet heard it, because I think that you've come from maybe the quilting background, because I know that if you're a knitting background, you tend to have heard of the sheep. But please go download this, and obviously the High Fibre Diet as well. Some podcasts are like Marmite, and that's a correct use of like, and you either like them or you don't like them. Some podcasts are like chocolate. You love them, but you can live without them. I think that Hoxton's like air. Everyone loves air. Enough bowing and kowtowing for me, or you know, but just she's just good. Also, I'll recommend Knit One Geek Two, Knitting Brooklyn, Knitting Min Knits, Yarn on Tap, and Homespun Journey. These are all new ones that I've listened to and subscribed. I say new to me, and I'm trying out a couple of others. And if they're good, I'll let you know next time, because I'm not going to say that I like a podcast when just because somebody's joined the group, I feel the need to mention it. I've asked for your input on the Ravelry group for the podcast. To be honest, my last episode was too long, and no more cleaning talk. Although, I do think that International Clean Your Fridge Day is a good idea. I may re-announce this on Twitter next time I'm going for it, but I've asked you to say what your favourite bits are from the podcast. I did sort of say you could say what your least favourite bits are, but you have to say it nicely, because you know what I'm like with criticism. I do try to keep it shorter than 45 minutes. I would love to have it under 30 minutes, but sometimes the drams are funny and it runs on. Please put what you like and nicely what you don't like. And so far, I've had requests for the Scottish segment. You know what?
Scottish segment.
Can you remember way back when I started the Scottish segment? Rush. The reason was because I wanted to tell you more about my lovely county of Caithness, which is right at the north of Scotland. It's a triangular county and we have sea on the north and east coasts. I live on the north coast. I look at the islands of Orkney. I wanted to tell you more about the history of Caithness and its people. And at the time I thought, well, where do I start? And in the end, I started when people first came to Scotland and I told you an abbreviated version of Scotland's history. Now I think it's time to tell you Caithness's history, and I'll do it with the help of a few local books, which are actually propping up the microphone tonight. One is A Field Guide to Caithness, which starts with the geology of the area, and I love geology in a very sack anyway. I feel it explains why land is why it is, and even hitting the stones with a wee rock hammer makes me happy in a Shawshank Redemption kind of way. The other book is Wick of the North by Frank Foden, The Story of a Scottish Borough, which I've had for a long time, 1999. And the other is a book from the library that I would really like to get myself, is Lest We Forget, The Parish of Canisbay, which is edited by Anne L. Houston. And they're all got historical references. I'll try to reference them, but not plagiarise them, as I didn't write them, and go buy them yourself. They deserve the money. Are you sitting comfortably, listeners? Good, and we shall begin. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Let your eyes grow dreamy. Cast yourselves back, back in time, to the beginning. Scooby-doo, Scooby-doo. When the world was made. Well, that is if you believe in evolution, and not that we were all made by the fairies. And about 370 million years ago, ancient sedimentary rocks were being deposited in a huge freshwater basin, which we now call Lake Orcade, which is kind of where the Orkney Islands get their name from. There were fish and critters, which we now call fossils, and these sedimentary rocks gave us the flagstones, which obviously there's an industry from. I say obviously. It is obvious to me, but it's not to you. This area was reportedly 30 degrees south of the equator, and it fair shifted about, because now we are 59 degrees north of the equator. It was in the Devonian period, which is named after the county of Devon in southwest England, where the rocks from this period are the most common. Geology is a fairly recent science, so the name of Devon was about before the geologists kind of thought about having a period called the Devonian period. And the rocks that we got in Caithness are called the Red Sandstone. Apparently, back then in the day, the Northern Highlands of Scotland were akin to the desert lakes of Nevada and Utah. Bare, rugged, lots of dusty desert, the odd mountain, and the theme from The Good, the Bad and the Ugly. There were lots of great lakes of water, hence the fishes. I have a couple of geologists' names for you of interest. Archibald Geikie and Hugh Miller, both very important and not all that well known. Right, so I've set the scene. And of course we have a fair bit moving about of the continents. Ice ages, smooth things off, few dinosaurs to stir things up. I'm going to gloss over that because it's not in my book that the T-Rex came visiting this way. So the next Scottish segment, I'll tell you that the geography around the county differs. It's not very long, but it's just enough to give you a wee taste. So coming up, it's there. Still got the same as last time, the 15th to the 21st of October at Home Farm Culdees Muttle, I didn't find it out yet, Perthshire, which is the home of Strathairn Fleece and Fibre, and they have a workshop during the week, and then Sunday the 21st is the Strathairn Wool Tryst, so there's fleece exhibition, marketplace displays, knitting, spinning corner, music, and refreshments with the Inverclyde Walking Singers. So go to www.perfectweatherforspinningandknitting.blogspot for programme details and updates. And then in October the 19th and 20th, I am still hoping, because they've not released the classes yet, to get to the Glasgow School of Yarn, organised by the Yarn Cake Shop on Queen Margaret's Drive. The tutors have now been announced, and whoo-hoo, crackers! There's Amy Singer of the editor Knitty.com. There is Janet Renoff Miller, who ran the Buyer Spinning and Weaving Supply and Tuition business. Liz Lovick, who lives in Orkney and is the most fantastic spinner and Gansey knitter. She's into Shetland lace just now. And last but no means least, Woolly Wormhead of Hat Architect fame. How fantastic does all that sound? I mean, I was listening to Hoxton talking about Woolly Wormhead. She's talked to her and Giffnock Girls met some of them and... oh, it just sounds wonderful. So as I said, it's the weekend of the 19th and 20th of October in the Charles Rennie Mackintosh Church on Maryhill Road. But the marketplace is one of the rooms behind the church, and you don't have to be taking classes to go to the marketplace. I believe it's £5 on the door. The prices of the classes are slightly different, so if you go to the website you can find out more about that. I hope the vendors list, I'll read it quickly, is... A Peppermint Penguin, Abstract Cat Crafts, Anne Sotinet, Hilltop Cloud, Kate Davis Designs, Old Maiden Art, P. Hop, Rebels Craft, Skein Queen, The Yarn Cake and The Yarn Yard, people I talk to on Twitter I don't realise are actually real people. And there is parking on some of the streets of Maryhill, and how can you not make an effort to go to this? Obviously, don't make too much of an effort until I've booked my place, because I really want to go. Lots of them are staying in the Premier Inn near to the venue, so don't be staying alone. London Sam and White Hart, or a couple of names that I recognise. And I hope it all works out for us all to get there, get our classes up and have a great crafting time. And it's just so cool because it's in our country. And I hear about this over in America, and they're always talking about Fibre Festival this and Stitches Midwest that, and it's a different world, and it's going to be in Glasgow. So I really hope that Energy Hunt is not extremely busy on the 19th of October so I get to go.
The swap section.
Apron swap seems to be coming along nicely. You've all been paired off. If you haven't heard from your swappy, please let me know and I'll send Daisy around wearing the Viking outfit, riding Quattro to sort them out, but I'm sure you're all fine. Remember and take a photo before you post it. I did that myself. So it's an apron of any type, something locally made to you, and anything else you fancy sending. Please send it by the 18th of September, and I have sent mine out to Montana Sue. Hope it gets her in one piece, and let's see all the photographs, or very good descriptions if you're not that technically enabled, and just really enjoy yourself doing it.
I buy books, I never read, and then I tell you some more about me.
And now for the me show. Yeah, because it's all about me. Get your own podcast. I finished another Milo baby tank top, and I sent the designer a wee message just to say thank you. I liked her pattern. I just thought it was a nice random thing to do. If any of you fancy doing the same thing this week, let me know. Let's spread the love and tell someone that we appreciate them. And the wee baby, the tank top's four, came home from hospital the same day I finished it. So she's now 7 pounds and doing very well. I got another baby to knit for come in, so I better cast on a new one. And I'm thinking I'm going to rewind the yarn first because an old cardigan from Daisy, which was made with Surder bamboo and cream, and it was lovely, and I didn't want to lose the yarn. The Bactus by Strictlys. This pattern is free from her website, and you get it through Ravelry easy enough. I'm using Zweiger Garn's Opal Sock Yarn in blues with a sparkle thread. Do you like my German? Very bad. Sorry, Distel. I finished it last night. I had to post it today, and I had to put in some serious knitting over the weekend, so I'm going to have to rest my hands a few days because I don't want to overdo them. It's the beauty of doing lots of crafts, so I can rotate them to use different muscles. Plus, I was chopping wood all Saturday, and my arms kind of just gave up, really. The shawl was really nice. I had 14 grams left from a 100 gram ball, and I wasn't so keen on my increasing and decreasing lines, which is the pointy bits of the triangle, so I decided to crochet an edge to neaten it up. I was going to do a very slight shell pattern after two lines of double crochet. I wasn't sure if I'd had enough yarn left, and it was bedtime, and I had to post it first thing this morning, so I left it two lines of double crochet. And you know, I think it looks fine. I didn't even feel the need to block it. I didn't think it really needed it. There's no lace, just garter stitch, no curling. I'm kind of expecting my pal to wear it as a scarf rather than a shawl anyway. And it's a great mindless knitting, and the decreasing side is great fun because you know it's just getting smaller and smaller as you go. It's not mindless as in it's boring or anything. It's just really good for not having to concentrate too much. And I think for myself it's a bit plain. I like frilly, bit lace in my shawls. But it's very much let the yarn do the talking kind of shawl. And the yarn I said was Zweiger Garn Opal. And it didn't pull, it was variegated. And it was a wee tad splitty. But that's mostly down to me not looking because I was knitting. And the needle size was 3.5 knit picks. They were very sharp, pointy. I would recommend this pattern through and this yarn, so thank you, Tapophile, because it was you that it came from. I did something with my piece of foiled material that I talked about in the textile technique last episode. It sat all summer looking at me, not knowing what it wanted to be. Then one night, I had an idea. This is one of the nights I was had fed up going through the alphabet, and I all of a sudden realised, I could make that into a couple of notebook covers. I even gave myself the idea from the last podcast. So I used my size 14 chenille needle, which is fantastic. I wish I owned one years ago. It's like a massive darning needle with a really sharp point on that goes through thicker material. really easily, and it's got a great big eye which pulls thicker yarns and threads through no problem. I used a slub yarn to make a double link, and then I heavily chain stitched around one and lazy daisy stitched around the other. Really, you're going to have to go and have a look at the photograph, which is on Flickr. And they are on Flickr. I'm not just saying, oh, I put them on Flickr and they're not there, because I put them on there today. And then I put seed beads all over both of them, and I stuck them both to the front of a wee notepad, one as a present for my mum for looking after me and the bairns when I was poorly. I noticed a few things. I didn't do a sampler of stitches, and I had no plan as what to stitch and where. I should have done, and I will do in the future. It gives a wee sort of plan where to stitch and what where, and also I need to purchase myself a proper embroidery stitches book. I think I used to have one, but where it went to? No idea. Because all my books are actually kind of neat in a bookshelf. The rest of the craft's all over the place, but the bookshelf is kind of organised. I've got thousands, well, maybe not quite, but an awful lot of needlework magazines, and they generally have the stitches that are really used in that particular issue. One for the iPad, Amazon wishlist, methinks. Oh, he's not here, it's okay, I can say that out loud. But you know what? I really enjoyed stitching mindlessly. I love lazy daisy stitch and chain stitch. It's quite therapeutic, which is just what I needed at that point in time. Plus, Daisy loved helping by pulling out the different threads, which I put all together in a wee plastic tub. I recommend this by getting all your threads, your beads and your needles all together in the same tub. The hardest part is putting them away when you're finished. I don't think I have yet. Daisy did, of course, tip my seed beads onto the floor a couple of times, but 3-year-old podgy wee hands are perfect for picking them up from and taking them onto the needle. Albeit she has to trust you completely. I normally use one of Daisy's wee tea set plates. It's plastic, and it's a nice size with a lid to keep the beads from rolling away, and it's flat so you can dip your needle in and out easily. But it was lovely. And then, because I was still into the stitching, I decided to make a phoenix bag. And I'm calling it this because I've made a bag using my shawl collar vest, which was by Jennifer Miller that I made last year. Thought it was excellent. Felted it the first time I washed it. Well, fooled it, but I know. I think felted sounds more dramatic. Anyway, I thought, oh, I don't want to chuck that out. I'll make something from it. And oh, look, it has holes in it where the armholes were. So they are the handles. And now it's a bag. And for the inside, I used a piece of hand-dyed by me material, and Daisy helped me with the sewing machine. I was back to using my old sewing machine, Marjorie. Oh, I really want a new one. The tension was off. I forgot about the foot pedalling controlling the speed, and it just whizzed up the front. Mum's foot pedal isn't the speed control. Just go, stop. The speed controller button is on the machine. I managed fine, and I hand-sewed around the top and the bottom. I had to YouTube how to make a box bottom, which, if you ever get stuck in techniques, remember me telling you, remember YouTube. It's all on there. Take classes. Coggy, how's your sewing going? I love the fact you're sewing. How much fun would have to be have you in a sewing class? You wouldn't get any work done, actually. And the reason it's called a phoenix bag was because the lovely Sandy had suggested it way back when I was bemoaning the fact that I had failed at the shrug in the first place. So next time any of you mucks up something, be it knitting, sewing, quilting, don't throw it out immediately. Either hand it on, put it in the bottom of your tub for a few months, and then one night you might be lying awake thinking about crafting. Make it in your head. And Phoenix from the Flames. Haha, it's funny because I was reading Harry Potter at the time. Now I have enough Zvorbal to make an Owl's Jumper by Kate Davis. I now have 569 metres of bulky weight yarn. Well, I think it's bulky. It's going to be debatable in a quart of yarn. I'm going to finish up the rest of this Vorbal, and I've got written down start on the Hebridean that I got last year. I might just finish the rest of this Vorbal. I really need to pull my finger out and wash the other fleeces too. And my lovely mum has pinned out the pattern for my purple dress and wool jacket. I'm not advised, it's not allowed really, by her to cut it until she's there. And I agree, because it was a while ago I made the dress and my memory does need refreshing. And finally, ooh, you like this, I have made my first dishcloth. Yes, hello, my name is Louise, I've made a dishcloth. And it was kind of from Shorty Sutures, who she of lovely podcast fame. And I remember she sent me a few over and I said, I couldn't possibly use them to do my dishes. Are you mad? Are you out your head? And then Richard did. So now they're always there. They're brilliant. I crocheted a very simple, just made up in my head square, using some cotton yarn that the lovely Sandrada sent me ages and ages and ages ago. And when I say square, it was more of a rhombus. I think I was missing the first stitch out on the paper row and I don't count the stitches. I was going to give it to my mum, but as it was so squint, I didn't. I've even used it and it's been through the wash. I started another one whilst I was in the waiting room. Nobody batted an eyelid. I think Caithness is just too crafty. Nobody thinks it's odd when you whip out your crafting. What I think is we should have in all waiting rooms across the world is a piece of knitting that's given out if you've forgotten yours. And between us all, we could blanket the world's babies, homeless, needy people. I may write to Parliament and get this passed as law. Also, I'm feeling Christmas presents coming on here, a la Green Triangle Girls coming up with washcloths and soap. In fact, I'm going to try the soap making for Christmas. Oh, say the Christmas word again. I wouldn't normally mention it until the 1st of December, but this year I am definitely going to make all my cards and maybe some presents. We've had quite a poor harvest in the garden this year, so there's no chutney, and I was kind of pondering what else to do. And then, when I was poorly, somebody gave me a whole pile of magazines, needlecraft magazines, and goodness, these go back. I even got a 1969 knitting pattern book, some quite nice stuff in there. And there was a few suggestions of Christmas stuff, and I thought, oh, I could do that. I could make all the things. I Makes Martine made soap last year, or maybe the year before, and you have to make it a few weeks before Christmas so it can prove, or something like that. So that's the idea. Order your soap making kits now, and we can stink out the house together. Buy some spirits next month, and make blackberry or bramble vodka, or boiled sweetie vodka, or gin, or other alcohol is available. We're going to make Skittle and Cola Cube vodka. So think of your favourite boiled sweetie, mint humbugs, rhubarb and custard, toffee, and well, all you do, put in a bottle of vodka now-ish, and dissolves before Christmas. And weirdly, when I was listening to Electric Sheep's bit on gin, she mentions raspberry gin, and various different types of what you can do with gin, and gin being the word. It was lovely. Also, it was kind of 9:30 in the morning, and it felt a bit wrong to be pondering after gin. I'd written most of this before I heard her say this, but she didn't mention the skills, so listen and do both. Great, brilliant presents for friends, and of course yourself. So that was me. It's not bad for not being well. Well, I remember I wasn't going to mention that, was I?
The drams.
Drams. As ever, we have this at the end, as some of you aren't into the drinking. There will only be blah 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 stuff, so thanks for listening, and I'll speak to you next episode. Please come back, I still like you. This is a single malt 12-year-old Tomatin. That'll make sense in a minute. And we recorded this when we were away on holiday in July, so the references are probably well out of date. And by the sounds of it, we've spent quite enough of each other's company by this point in the holiday. But you that like us to hear us bickering, well, this is the one for you.
Red ramen. Red ramen. Red ramen, red ramen, red ramen, red ramen. We hope you like ramen too.
Well, hello. We're on holiday. And we bought ourselves a tomatin.
Tomatin.
You see tomato, I see tomatin. 12-year-old single malt from Inverness Airport. We're not in Inverness anymore, Toto. And we're sitting in your Auntie Marion's house.
Near London.
Yes. So if you're hearing a kind of rumble in the background, it's Gatwick Airport. We've had a lovely week, haven't we?
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Loads of things done.
And go Wiggle!
Wiggle!
And tonight we decided that instead of carrying the tomatin home, we would maybe try and drink most of it.
That's a big ask. It's too much for me. I know where I'm beat.
Will it be less than the kilogram?
It'll be less than it is just now.
Yes. So, I'd like to describe the box. Give us the box. We've got a square QB type, long rectangular type, and it's black. And the crafty person in me thinks, black. It's got white and red writing on, and the 12 is in red.
The red trim's quite impressive.
The red trim is impressive, mainly when you've got the lid shut, but I don't just know. There's a wee distilled with pride since 1897 embossed on there. You can only see it when the light catches it. Mm-hmm. And there's a silver trim.
Finished in Spanish sherry casks.
Which is obviously going to tell you that it has got a sherry type of taste to it. Mm-hmm. Although we're not really supposed to read that because that gives us the power of suggestion. Mm-hmm. The rattling is the tasting notes. Oh no, I lie.
No,
it's the lid. The silver top. So, product to Scotland. Where's our drinkaware thing? Can't find it. Drinkaware.com. Don't drink too much at one point. And we'll go on to the bottle. Said bottle.
I would say it's quite a bland bottle, to be honest. It's not really kind of voluptuous or curvaceous. It doesn't have much character as a bottle. Albeit, it still carries the whisky as a receptacle, as it should. And it's got this kind of embossed bitty up here, which I can't quite see.
Lions.
Lions.
Scottish looking lions. Because...
Well...
Well, the lion rampart.
Lions run around all the time where we are.
Yeah, you kind of move, but there's lions running about.
Especially on a Friday and a Saturday night when we've all been peeving on the whiskey.
Well, this week's been quite gala week, yes. Mm. And it's got embossed at the bottom, Tomatin Distillery.
Tomatin.
You say tomato, I say Tomatin.
Listen, right, now, let's just put this to bed.
Excuse me, I'll tell you and you tell me. I say Tomatin.
Right. Can I just...
Tomatin.
I've always been confused. I always used to call it Tomatin.
Well, I always called it right. Tomatin because that's where...
We'll start off as I used to call it.
Stop interrupting me. There used to be a little chef on that part of Tomatin, on the A9. And we stopped there once when I was little and my mum phoned home to find out that our budgie had died. And since then, I have put it together with Tomatin. Death to all budgies.
Right, permission to speak, boss. Tomatin Distillery, home of the finest Highland single malt.
Oh, I found it. Please say for Tomatin responsibly.
I'm speaking here. Tomatin. No, Tomatin Distillery, home of the finest Highland single malt Scotch whisky, is located in the Monalea Mountains, just south of Inverness. Capital of the Highlands of Scotland, established in 1897. Tomatin, to rhyme with Satan, is one of the highest...
Or Satan.
Is that not S-A-T-A-N?
Not in my head.
Tomatin.
Never mind the Daisy giggle, this is the Louise giggle.
It's one of the highest distilleries in Scotland. A whole 315 metres above sea level.
You say Tomatin, I say Tomatin.
Tomatin.
And Tomatin. Probably Tomatin.
Satin.
Yeah.
Satin, Tomatin.
If there's any Tomatin or Tomatin listeners, please let me know. I will bow by your greatness. This is a 40% alcohol volume and we're looking at a 700ml bottle.
Well, we did a cork.
And we reckon that it's still weighing in at 1 kilogram.
We're getting closer to about 750.
So we need to get less because we've only got so much lip package allowance still.
Had you be swimming? Right. So I can do this.
Not bad. Not bad. And we've got awful posh little whisky glasses, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these...
Well, we're at my posh auntie's house.
We are. Deepest, darkest. Sorry. Leafy. Sorry. Oh. A rather nice sized dram. Smell. It's got a kind of sweetish kind of smell. It's not got any peat that I can think of.
I find it very sweet.
Is there peat?
I know it alludes to fruitiness, but I'm getting more nuts than fruit.
I don't smell nuts. I smell whiskey, listeners.
Fine. I'm getting a... It's not really a peaty or a smoky whiskey, but it's got kind of hints.
It's quite a lot of depth. Is it fallen from the glass? Where you were swirling it round.
Enough, too much in my drum.
Swirling it round is far rather nice whiskey glass. I must take a photo of this. And
there you go, put it down there.
Falling slowly. And now we put a bit of water in.
Go. You're struggling to speak, aren't you?
I'm not struggling to speak. There we go. I've put rather a decent amount of water in. Cheers. Thanks for that.
Happy holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Goes down well.
That's it, actually. It's nice with the water in it.
A little bit of water.
Did you sneeze in that?
No. That would just be rude. It's still sweet.
Colour. Sorry, we never did colour.
I was going to say colour. I would say that is Chewbacca having spent many winters on Hoth.
No, that is Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh.
Which means it's a very light yellow colour, new listeners.
Under fluorescent light bulbs.
What, Winnie the Pooh under fluorescent light bulbs?
Yeah.
This is a new one. Is this a fluorescent yellow or fluorescent green? Or fluorescent blue?
No. Not fluorescent. What's it called?
Neon.
What do you call the tubes?
The tubes. That lights. Was a programme on Channel 4.
Oh, the lights.
The lights, ooh.
The claw.
Back to the whiskey.
Back to the whiskey. So, anyway, flavours, palate, aroma. It says it's a complex bouquet, contains rich malt and fruity aromas.
It's not harsh at all.
No, it's sweet. I find it sweet. Mm. The palate is rewarded with a unique combination of attractive flavours. A balance of stewed apples, which I'm not getting. Pears, which I'm not getting. Malt with a gentle hint of nuttiness, which I am getting.
Not getting the nuts. I don't understand nuts. Blah.
And the finish is a smooth, sweet and very satisfying. And I think I agree with all that. It's very nice.
Do you know what I
say? It's an outstanding flavour. It doesn't...
No.
Stand out there, but again, it's something that's just, it's nice. Can't complain. If someone gave this to me, I certainly wouldn't complain.
No, I wouldn't. When we were in Inverness Airport, we kind of sidled up there to the tasting booth, and the lady was very nice.
You had the 15.
Yeah. And there was a 15, and there was a 12. So we did a 15 and a 12-year-old tasting, but I didn't feel the requirement.
You couldn't afford
to get out the... No, I couldn't, I didn't feel the requirement to take out the phone and do a tasting there and then.
No, that's very true.
A little bit too embarrassed, listeners. And we couldn't afford the 15. It was just a bit more expensive. Actually.
But just a bit, about three times more expensive.
Aye. As we've not won the lottery this year, we went for the 12. And it's pleasant.
Yeah, it's nice. I like it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's an... Like I say, it's not outstanding in its flavour. It doesn't stand out there and go... This is...
Laphroaig.
Tomatin. Tomatin. Tomatin.
You say tomatin, I say tomatin.
Yeah. But it's certainly not unpleasant.
Eagle-eyed listeners will probably have noticed that I've changed my mind three times in this dram section.
And I'm slurring quite the thing. Because we've been for a nice curry.
Yes, we have.
And a bottle of wine.
Yes.
And a few glasses of cider.
Yes. And drink responsibly, listeners.
Not do like you... us.
No. Do what I say, not what I do. Well, what's the tasting note say on the bottle about tomatin area?
Tomatin.
Yeah, yeah. You actually do get a little tasting notes, little leaflet to go with it. Do you know where I've put it? No, I don't know either. So, what else have we to say about tomatin? Tomatin.
Tomatin. Tomatin. Satin. Blinking, you'll miss it.
Not the whiskey, listeners. If you like it, drink it, and drink it responsibly.
Exactly.
So, Sanjiva.
Sanjiva, Okiva.
Mm, yeah, like I say, bickering.
The blah 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 session.
Blah blah blah, but that was me. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for coming back. I hope you're all in good health, and if you're not, please be in good fettle, because I appreciate my good health right now, I can tell you. You can download me from Podbean and iTunes, and all reviews gratefully welcome. Looks over glasses, gives you the stern look of remember your iTunes thing. Feed my ego, feed my ego. Please do carry on with the reviews in the comments everywhere else. You can email me on caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. You can message me on Ravelry as Louise Hunt, and you can join the Caithness Craft Collective group in there. Also, I'm on Pinterest and Stitching Fingers, and on Twitter, Caithness Craft. The music is Wild Mountain Time by Mark Gunn. I think I'm going to have to get something new because summer's passed. But you can buy this from musicalley.com. Thank you for listening, and keep on crafting.
We'll all go together to Wild Mountain Time all around. Will you go? I say go. Will you go? I say go. We go.